There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Right from your grave.
That's when the cannibalism started.
PTS, PTHD. That's what I have right now.
Your conquistador, Henry Zebrowski.
My nuts are like, they went 12 rounds with old Iron Mike. I was on a 6.5 foot Clydesdale named Tinkerbell. Slammed my balls for an hour and a half.
Did it get hard at all?
What? Did I get hard?
Yeah, did you get hard?
No, of course not.
No, of course not.
I'm not one of those guys who gets hard when you smash his balls.
All right, welcome to the show. That's Marcus. I'm Ben. Sitting to my left is a man who gets hard when you smash his balls.
It's the Marble Man, Henry Zebrowski. I rode a horse to the studio today.
Well,
you know, got to get them doggies back in the stable. Is that it?
Is that what you're using
you're
for?
You're a cowboy.
Yeah.
Technically.
Technically,
Marcus,
yeah.
You've ridden a horse before.
Many times.
How do the nuts feel after a nice horse ride?
It's not the nuts so much as the ass.
It's my taint.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
It's the taint.
I was on the biggest horse they had.
Okay.
Which is named Tinkerbell, and isn't that fun?
It's
and
cute.
And then the one thing is that when you're horse riding in New York, you have to go through fucking Brooklyn. Like, you were literally, I'm on a 6.5 foot Clydesdale. In Brooklyn, and we're going through the roundabout at fucking whatever it is, Fort Hamilton over there, and like we're going through, and it's like cars just beeping at us, and dogs are going, like, it's just in traffic, and they're just like, this is the most dangerous thing on the face of the fucking planet.
You're living like Woody Harrelson, an urban cowboy. What?
Yeah.
So you were just around cars on a horse.
Yeah, and just bouncing them in there, boom, 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 boom. Like as you're walking, it's like, and of course it's walking over like cracked sidewalks.
Yeah, of
and
course.
It's slipping and sliding all over the place, and it's itchy. They're like, oh, it's itchy today. And I was like, I'm itchy today. All right, but I'm not fucking 3,000 pounds carrying me.
Did people treat you as a liberator rolling through the streets about
no,
to take over
I
Brooklyn?
No, I felt like I was the true symbol of like everything that is wrong with America. You're a wild, beautiful animal, this amazing free stallion that we fucking just strapped a fucking leather cage to, and then they plop a 220-pound fat American on the back of it. I got my Batman hat on, sunglasses, and that's and of course, going through Prospect Park, everyone's just like pointing at the fat guy up there.
Look at the fat guy.
Everybody's taking pictures like I'm a celebrity.
I like what you said yesterday. It was like in the scene Django Unchained when Jamie Foxx was riding the horse. They're like, wow, one's on a horse.
I can't believe that fat guy's on a horse.
What a sad day for that horse. So how was work today, horse husband? Fat man.
Oh, yes.
We don't talk after fat man days. He gets very upset and very sad.
And then we were going with our with my girlfriend's 6-year-old nephew, and he's just like, yeah, plump. He kept calling me plump. God damn it. I can't get any respect.
Well, speaking of atrocities, holy lord, do we have some lined up for you
this
guys today.
This may well be the most serious subject I've ever researched for this. We
started on just war atrocities, but we narrowed it down to the Japanese.
Now, I don't want to be racist.
Sure, no.
Okay,
no,
I don't think it's appropriate to do. But when we were on the train, like talking about it, I looked over and I saw an Asian guy listening, and I was just like, "Is he one of them?"
Yes. Right. So, where to begin? Obviously, we're going to get to a thing called Unit 731.
Yeah.
What do we want to start with here, Marcus? Because blood and
let's
the gore.
Let's go
and
back
the
guts. In the way, way back machine.
Let's go back to the way, way back machine. Get on in there, strap in your fat seats, and listen up to some horrors.
I mean, if you really want to talk about why the Japanese were so fucking terrible.
Well, I also think that because there was also the post-war relationship we had with the Japanese really affected how the entire world looks at like what actually happened during World War II. Mm-hmm. They got bigger numbers than the Nazis.
As far as kills go. Yeah.
Like really going into it, because I sort of had a clue because it's like I had seen clips from Men Behind the Sun, and then I sat to watch Men Behind the Sun, and I had to shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
I literally couldn't get through it. I've seen real human death
right
on the internet, and I could not watch it.
Check out Men Behind the Sun, literally Henry Zebrowski, the Henry Zebrowski that puts himself to sleep by dreaming of Satanist parties that involve anal penetration. This is what puts his eyes to rest, could not make it through more than 45 minutes.
Yes, yeah. Yes, because yes, a satanic party to me is like a Cinderella's ball, and I'm looking for a shoe. You know, that's where that's how I feel.
Look on
before
the steps.
Going to bed. No, it's not. Yeah, let's get into some of the. All right, let's go through some of the highlights, some of the Jose Canseco bits.
Let me give you guys runs. First of all. Here is a body count.
Okay.
Of Japan, it's anywhere from 3 million. To 10 million.
To 10 million.
And that's
you gotta narrow
most
that number
likely
down.
6 million Chinese, Indonesians, Koreans, Filipinos, and Indo-Chinese. And I did, you know, I did a lot of
and
research.
They did
on
the three alls policy. Kill all, burn all, loot all. Mm-hmm. That's what there was in China. They totally did. They're like, we made a promise. They didn't sign the Geneva Convention like in 1929. Mm. They were like, we promise though to be nice. Like right. They wrote a big promise, and then they when it went to China though, they were like, throw the promise out.
Right,
we're getting them. We're getting them good. Yeah.
Well, because they saw anyone who wasn't Japanese as subhuman.
Sure.
All Western races, especially the Chinese.
That's ironic, though, isn't it?
Absolutely subhuman. And I noticed, I saw in a lot of the research that
we have to be careful.
The Nazis, that's what they thought about them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the Nazis and the Japanese were strange bedfellows. They had a mutual respect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Hitler and Hirohito, the emperor of Japan, were friends. They liked each other.
Of course they were. Yeah. Yeah, just sitting around just watching fucking, you know, I Love Lucy. Just like, ha, 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 I love when she's going to the conveyor line and she's eating all the chocolates.
And he's like, oh, you know what I like to do? Is I like to take as many of these Chinese people and really make them race. And I cut them into it's sushi. I make them into sushi.
Is that what we're eating? That's great.
And Unit 731 is responsible for just 300,000 deaths on its own. Okay. That is one building.
Yeah, that's one building. Mm-hmm. And I found out why there's such discrepancy in how many deaths they actually think they are, because I found in just case after case after case, there are so many bodies in these ditches and in these holes that they just don't know. They have to guess. It's like, well, how big is a human body? Mm. How much does a body weigh? How deep is that hole? And they have to do body math.
It's like when you have a jar full of gummy.
It's also a name of a Paula Abdul album.
Yeah.
This is my question. Let me just give you what you're covering right now, this is just World War II.
This is from the Second Sino-Japanese War up until World War II.
Which was what? That was like the late 30s, right?
This is the late 30s, but the Second Sino-Japanese War goes right into World War II.
Man, they never stopped.
Let me tell you about the Straw String Gorge Massacre.
Yeah, sure. That sounds fun.
Yeah. It was the single largest massacre of Chinese troops. It occurred along the banks of the Yangtze River in December 18th.
The Yangtze River.
What happens there?
Japanese soldiers.
Such nice music, though.
Japanese soldiers took most of the morning tying up all of the POWs' hands together.
That's hard. That's a long job. You can't just get a temp in there to do it.
No, you can't. Oh, it's a bad job,
not.
Though. Bad job.
Because they'll make it last longer. Sure. They'll just go be like, oh, well, I got to make this last till Friday.
I mean, especially when there are 58,000 of them.
Hey, Roger, go out there and tie 58,000 hands together.
58,000?
Oh, my God.
Well, how am I going to get these expense reports done?
This is a
fate
worse than death.
I guess I'll write them in human blood.
Yeah, this is a fate worse than death.
And
maybe
then when dusk came, they divided them into four columns, opened fire. Unable to escape, the POWs could only scream and thrash in desperation. It took an hour for the sounds of death to stop, and even longer for the Japanese to bayonet each individual POW, and then they all dumped them in the river.
See, they're just so thorough. Apparently, what Nazis would do with the Jews, they would just shoot them and then just dump whatever state they were in into the ditch.
Yeah. And then later at Taiping Gate.
This is the kind of customer service that you've grown to expect from these people.
Yeah, the Nazis were lazy.
You know, it's just so nice to just see there's a tradition for it.
Can I get a bayonet over here? I'm dying very slowly. Can I please get bayoneted over here?
Oh, it's the city.
No problem. It was actually kind of nice. Thank you.
And then in another incident at a Taiping Gate, the Japanese troops gathered 1,300 Chinese soldiers together, blew them up with landmines, doused them with gas, set them on fire, and then those that were left alive afterward were killed with bayonets.
Where was John
Japanese
Rambo?
Love bayonets. I mean, they're just bayonets and swords.
They are living the redneck's dream. The rednecks would love a group of people to get to do this to.
Yes, indeed.
And possibly the worst thing as far as just general warfare that the Japanese did was the rape of Nanking.
All right, let's get into the rape of
Nanking.
And
that's the thing. They just, like, you know when it's called the rape of Nanking? It's like, I feel like if you could have, like, sort of trusted up to be, like, you know, the gentle hug of Nanking.
Sure.
You know, like the slow dance of Nanking.
I've heard about this rape of Nanking, and I really don't know that much about it.
They raped all of Nanking. They went and they just went and they raped it.
So it's not a clever name whatsoever. Just raped
it
an entire town.
Very literal.
There is a lot of this. Also with the comfort women and stuff like that.
It's not just rape. It's also murder as well. It was a six-week period in 1937 during the Second Sino-Japanese War. 300,000 people were killed in this thing.
So they went to a town of 300,000 people. They looked at it, and they're like, we're going to rape it.
Yeah,
raping this town.
Here's what happened. The Japanese had started the Second Sino-Japanese War against China because they were essentially being dicks. They just wanted China's resources, so they figured, we'll just go in there, kill everyone. And in fact, war wasn't even declared at this point, because if Japan were to declare war on China, then the United States would have stopped giving steel to them, because we had a neutrality embargo.
Good at that.
Yeah.
So we make so many good weapons.
Oh yeah, we're the best.
The strongest bayonets. Look at it. Like I can see the general selling the fucking bayonets to the Japanese, being like, you can break 1,000 rib cages with this bayonet. He's like, oh, I had never seen something so be deferred.
Russians are just sending over frozen rubber once. Yes, they're hard when they feel them, but as soon as they thaw out, they're very, very soft. Either way, we're making tons of money over here.
This is the funniest thing about the rape of Nanking that's ever existed. I mean, I would say it's inappropriate, our behavior. Yeah.
We cover stories different than the mainstream media.
This is rough.
So in August of 37, Japan invaded Shanghai. The Japanese thought they were going in for an easy kill. They would just tear down all these fuckers and be done with it. But the fighting was fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Urban hand-to-hand combat. But they got it. They took down Shanghai.
Yeah, I will say 6 weeks.
The fighting was probably very cinematic and beautiful, though.
Jumping up and standing on, like, tree branches and then, like, you know, like, bouncing off their swords and
Shaolin
stuff like that.
Just
like,
gimme,
gimme. Guys, like, yeah, like, summoning aliens and stuff. That would be great.
Prettiest war I've ever
seen. I could see that anime.
Mm, that's good. Yes.
I am a fan of anime.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I know you are.
Let's just keep going.
So after the Chinese lost the Battle of Shanghai, they fell back to Nanking. The government officials, the elite troops, all that, like, they all fell back.
Which is like guys with big fancy hats on. Yeah. Anytime you say a guy's name an elite troop, it's because he's got, like, a gold rim, like, fedora on.
No blood in his hands whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, oh!
The war is exhausted.
I almost got blood on my prettiest sword.
Very upsetting.
And so, of course, they fell back to Nanking, and the Chinese again decided, like, well, we can't have all of our elite troops dying here. It's a very symbolic thing to have the elite troops alive.
Right. You want that in war.
They
do so much stuff like that where it's like the one thing I'm sorry. It's like after everything was said and done, they went to Emperor Hirohito, like, to basically be like, well, we know all this shit's up. The only thing that we need to keep people from being prosecuted for war crimes is we need to do this thing called, I believe it's called, like, Dodeku. I forget what the name of the actual term is. Dokeibu?
We'll go with Dokeibu.
And what it is a formal apology in which one puts his head on the floor, like they bow down so low that their head's on the floor, and that's to show true apology, and he wouldn't. And so they all got charged with war crimes.
But that would have
all
been
all he had
it.
To do.
That's all you had to do is put your head on the floor.
But that's how seriously they take apology. You know how, like, when you had a girlfriend, you just say, I'm sorry, like it was the third word out of your mouth?
Always.
Yeah.
I apologize every morning. Every morning, five times a morning.
Yeah. In fact, if a Japanese or the Japanese took people who surrender, they took POWs to be subhuman again, because to surrender in Japanese military culture is the worst thing that you can do.
Yeah, because you get damned forever. Yeah. You get damned in the afterlife.
Yeah, you're just a, and
you don't want that.
And in fact, they would when Japanese soldiers were or Japanese POWs were returned to Japan during World War II, those motherfuckers were sent to Unit 731.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Can't wait to get to Unit 731.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just feel like once you hear the things, I'd just be like, nah.
This is the worst.
So. Most of Nanking's defenses were gone, and in a press release to foreign reporters, the Chinese
like
announced...
Like when I'm with the ladies.
Yeah.
The Chinese announced the city would not surrender and would fight to the death, and they gathered 100,000 soldiers, most of them completely untrained.
Of course.
They're farmers,
to
by the
prevent,
way.
And to prevent civilians from fleeing the city, the Chinese boxed in their own people.
I love it.
He ordered troops to guard the port. The defense force blocked roads,
so strong.
Destroyed boats, burnt nearby villages, went scorched earth... outside of Nanking, and of course, once the Japanese got there,
it all fell apart.
It just fell apart.
I love that when governments force their people to fight like they're human chickens.
So it's just a long battle. Like, it was a battle.
I mean, it wasn't really a battle. It was more like a total war.
A rape and pillaging.
It was a rape and pillage march to Nanking. And in fact, things got so bad once the Japanese got there, the Chinese soldiers were murdering other Chinese people to get their civilian clothes.
So they
would be immediately murdered by the Japanese because there was these two Japanese officers.
This is what's going to happen. When America finally falls apart, we're going to be killing these McDonald's employees because they're the only one that's safe.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the only one who know how to use the fryer later.
There was a killing contest that started on the march to Nanking.
Well, you gotta play
two
games.
Officers.
You know, you gotta have you gotta have that day go by quick.
Yes, the contest was a race between two officers to see which of them could kill 100 people first using only a sword.
Okay.
Oh yeah!
And in fact, you're talking about a fucking game. It was covered like a sporting event in newspapers in Japan. God,
really?
With damn daily it. Updates.
They take things so seriously.
I mean,
they're just such good competitors.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's an exciting event, you know? I would definitely be put. Who won? Do we know the winner?
We do not know the winner. Yeah. No.
Johnny the Skewer Yakimoto. And he's like, oh, I got 5-1. I run through my sword like a cartoon.
You're the best. Yeah. Can I have your autograph?
So once they captured the city of Nanking, Emperor Hirohito put a member of the imperial family in charge, this guy, Prince Asaka Yasuhito.
Okay.
And they put him out because they said that his attitude was, quote, not good.
Not good.
Not good. Good.
So he got in trouble for having a bad attitude after all
so
this?
You would not have made it.
What?
So if you were working for the Japanese government.
I would have been all smiles.
No.
I love what they're up
like,
to.
How wrong is it to a man's intestine? Hey, we will ask our scientists. Put it out of him, please.
It's scream long.
Yeah. So this guy goes in and he allegedly issued an order to kill all captives.
Okay.
He later says that he didn't issue that order, that somebody issued the order in his name. And
somebody else did it. Yeah, somebody
However,
else did it.
However,
oh,
after
get out
the
of this.
Carnage started, he gave no orders whatsoever to stop it. He's like, well, horse is out of the barn. Just keep going, boys.
Do you think he said that old Texas saying?
No, I think he said something that's like, whence the rice, spears from the bear.
I don't know. All right. We'll just continue on killing then, sir. I have no idea what you just said.
So there were a lot of Westerners that were in Nanking at the time.
Get out of Nanking! That's my first objective always.
Number
from now
one.
On. It's just like, if I'm in Nanking, I better be on my way out of here.
Kaboots on out of there, yeah.
I've got, this is an eyewitness testimony from Reverend James M. McCallum.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. I'm just sitting there eating my McDonald's.
The first bedroom intruder.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly.
This guy would have been a YouTube star in this
God,
generation.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we need to auto-tune this once you read it.
I know not where to end. Never have I heard or read such brutality. Rape! 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 We estimate at least 1,000 cases a night and many by day. In case of resistance or anything that seems like disapproval,
who's documenting
there is
not
a bayonet
it?
Stab or a bullet. People are hysterical. Women are being carried off every morning, afternoon, and evening. The whole Japanese army seems to be free to go and come as it pleases and do whatever it pleases. There are a lot of this is that's yeah.
But you know, we can't do anything about it because I'm just sitting here preaching the good words of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, I asked God to stop it, but turns out. I can't believe he's busy making stars and aliens.
Yeah. sons were forced to rape mothers. There was a lot of forced incest. Fathers were forced to rape daughters.
Well, you've seen their porn. Can you imagine what it's like in war?
Yeah, one pregnant woman was gang raped by Japanese soldiers and gave birth only a few hours later. Monks who declared a life of celibacy were also forced to rape women.
How do you look at your mother after you're forced to rape her? Like, that's just going to be awkward from there on out.
This is what I got to say. You know, in a world where Satan would let this happen, it just makes you think that maybe Satan doesn't exist at all.
It's sad. Isn't that sad?
Here's another eyewitness testimony. This one's bad. This one's specific.
They're all bad.
Yeah.
This is bad. Yeah, this is a bad one.
Yeah, the other guy just mentioned how 1,000 women were getting raped every night, but then they just didn't count them during the day. Like, how many rapes were at?
Many.
Many during the day, at least 1,000 at
but
night.
But, I mean, I couldn't tell because I was learning how to make guacamole.
Yeah,
Have you heard of this new guacamole?
So how were the people over there in Nanking? Intriguing.
Hungry for guacamole.
On December 13th.
I know you're being raped there by your son, but could I perchance interest you in some guacamole?
No.
Or flautas?
It's a muddler. Okay.
On December 13th, about 30 soldiers came to a Chinese house at number 5, Sing Lu Ku, in the southeastern part of Nanking, and demanded entrance. The door was opened by the landlord, a Mohammedan named Ha. They killed him immediately with a revolver, and also Mrs. Ha, who knelt before them after Ha's death, begging them not to kill anyone else.
So it was a ha-ha-ha death? It's a. So there's just
I don't even. I think that's. I think that's it for you. I think literally, like, if there is an afterlife, like, you're done.
Did I not
officially?
No, I'll put my head on the ground right now. I'll apologize right now. All right, I just put my head on the ground. Everything's fine.
Mrs. Ha asked them why they killed her husband, and they shot her.
Well, that's the thing. Don't ask.
Yeah. Right.
Never ask.
Right.
Mrs. Hasai was dragged out from under a table in the guest hall where she tried to hide with her 1-year-old baby. After being stripped and raped by one or more men, she was bayoneted in the chest and then had a bottle thrust into her vagina. The baby was killed with the bayonet. Some soldiers then went to the next room.
You can't rape a baby.
Yeah, you
can.
Yeah, you can.
All right, we won't go.
No,
can we just live in a world
they used to cut the children open.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Rape.
Great, thank
God,
you.
God.
I'll tell you this is a real ha-ha
It's called a hot pocket.
Oh, right. Jesus. It's a hot pocket?
That was where a hot pocket term originated from.
That's the first Jim Gaffigan. Nanking Jim Gaffigan is talking about a different kind of hot pockets.
Okay.
God.
Okay.
We haven't even gotten to Unit 731 yet. We've got to get there soon.
Some soldiers then went to the next room where Mrs. Sasai's parents, aged 76 and 74, and her 2 daughters, aged 16 and 14. They were about to rape the girls when the grandmother tried to protect him. The soldiers killed her with a revolver. The grandfather grasped the body of his wife and was killed. The 2 girls were then stripped, the elder being raped by 2 to 3 men and the younger by 3. The older girl was stabbed afterwards, and a cane was rammed in her vagina.
Why?
The younger girl was bayoneted also, but was spared the horrible treatment that had been meted out to her sister and mother. The soldiers then bayoneted another sister of between 7 and 8, who was also in the room. The last murders in the house were of Ha's 2 children, aged 4 and 2. The older was bayoneted, and the younger split down through the head with a sword.
Wow, they were doing the old John Belushi thing with the kid.
The old John Belushi thing?
The bit with the samurai chef.
Yes.
And pregnant women were not spared.
Okay. No, of course not. Yeah. Why, at this point, why would even entertain the idea that anyone's getting spared?
Yeah, I think they just got a trend going. They got on a roll, and
Here's another testimony from Tang Junchan. The 7th and last person in the first row was a pregnant woman. The soldier thought he might as well rape her before killing her, so he pulled her out of the group to a spot about 10 meters away. As he was trying to rape her, the woman resisted fiercely. The soldier abruptly stabbed her in the belly with a bayonet. She gave a final scream as her intestines spilled out. The soldier then stabbed the fetus with its umbilical cord clearly visible and tossed it aside.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's just a different kind of birth.
I'm really just glad that he didn't do that, like, really deep apology in order to, like, wipe all these crimes away. I'm so upset. After reading about this, last night, it's so fucking bad.
All right. So
In fact, the Chinese had a specific trumpet sound that when the Japanese heard it, it meant kill all Chinese.
And here's what
I found out about the whole ditch thing is that there were thousands were led away and mass executed in a hole called the 10,000 Corpse Ditch.
Just an estimate.
And the estimate that they have, it's anywhere from 4,000 to 20,000.
It's like when you go into an old-timey candy store and there's a bunch of jelly beans in a jar, and if you guess how many jelly beans are in that jar, you get a free candy
bar. If you guess all the amount of corpses are in a ditch, you get the corpses in the ditch?
You get to be king of Nanking.
And finally, the reason why people think this happened... I mean,
it did happen.
There's a lot of revisionists who say it didn't. The nationalist movement in Japan is so strong that and they're a legit part of the government there.
Oh yeah,
there's so many.
It's not in the textbooks.
When Unit
731
was shut down, one of the head doctors of Unit 731 became the head of the censor bureau.
Well, he was the Ministry of Textbooks, like, and things like that.
Like literally, they got to rewrite the textbooks.
Yeah. Okay, so now the people that weren't killed in Nanking, you could argue the people that were killed got off lucky. Because the other folks...
I mean, a lot of these people were killed after the horrible things happened.
I mean, everybody... There was 10 million deaths.
Yeah. So
there was 10 million in that area. It wasn't in... It's not even counting what happened in Japan when we showed up.
Yeah.
Because when we showed up, we got them good.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, I mean, we got him real good. So in the end, it's just like, when it comes down to it, it's just like, I mean, what's really sad is it's more like, I mean, they didn't technically know about all this other stuff when we did the thing that we did, but thank God that we did the thing that we did.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I went to school in Wisconsin. It's not in our textbook. Yes, I remember that.
I love the Japanese people, though. I still think that they're beautiful people, and I love their culture, you know? But they're just such... horrible murderers. I mean, we are too.
Every culture has its own.
We got the Native Americans.
We got the Native Americans.
How many times have you seen a feather headdress today?
I mean, I read up on some Native American massacres, and one time we killed 150 men, women, and children because one of them stole a horse.
Absolutely.
Let's
and we cut their heads off and stuck their. We'd stick our hand up their head and make like little ventriloquism. Yeah. And we're like, Chief Redenbearer. And then they're like, make them suck your dick.
So Jeff Dunham started. All right, but let's get back to the Japanese here. POWs. They're brought to. Let's go to Unit 730.
Let's go to
and
Unit
really
731. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you think you've avoided death. You get called off. You're hauled off to a camp. Everything is going terribly, but you're alive. And then you go to hell, which is Unit 731.
You know, Unit 731 is arguably, it's like if Joseph Mengele's workstation was like blown up into a thing the size of Disney World.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like they put their top minds into this program, Unit 731, that was for the testing and perfection of biological warfare.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, from the research that was done at this facility, all of the scientists involved were granted immunity because America took their research from them. Like, same thing we happened with Operation Paperclip. Mm-hmm. We took all of the most devious minds of the century and we employed them.
Yep.
America.
Yes. And really, Unit 731 did a lot for the advancements of biological weapons.
Biological warfare.
And let's discuss.
But then in weird pharmaceutical ways as well. But it's like, I guess we could talk about where it was in charge of a guy named, Shiro Iso.
Yeah.
Who was in charge of it, who was just, following orders.
I think he was given some too.
And if you've seen the film Men Behind the Sun, that's what the entire movie is based upon this.
Right.
And what I said before is like, we'll talk about some of the more specific tortures, but let's just do that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was officially known as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department.
That's the thing.
Kwangju
he also
Army.
Made a water for purification like system
so
that
we
works
have,
really well.
Yeah. Do we think is Britta to thank for this?
Maybe. Like, yeah, literally Brita, maybe. Brita could be the fucking,
so you're
like,
telling me I get fresh, crisp, clean water and 10 million people, only 10 million people had to die for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the future.
Oh, absolutely. Well, they did definitely, they had some things in common with Mengele. I wouldn't be surprised if this Isho character and Mengele got together at some point to compare notes.
Oh, yeah, and had fucking biscuits together? Yeah, and watched old Disney cartoons? Of course.
And just bizarre experiments. Like, they,
the biologic-
one person, they cut the hands off of a subject and then switched the hands on the arms and then sewed them back on. Just
and they don't use anesthesia because they
never
said that it'll,
used anesthesia. Right.
They
so
said that it will affect
the
results. What they would do is, like, a lot of times it's like they basically they were working on animals for a long time until finally they were like, well, we'll get a lot more effective results if we start using humans. And so they started bringing in Chinese POWs.
But the word humans does not exist. They called them logs.
Marudas.
Logs. Yeah.
The term Maruda is I would say one of the most evil concepts I've ever heard on the face of the planet. I'd say it's more evil than the Nazis, because the Nazis at least called them Jewish. Like, the Nazis at least said, like, Juden. You know, like,
yeah,
they said a thing. They called them a people. I mean, maybe it's more evil because they knew they were a people and what they did to them. But the Japanese, the way they work is they're very compartmentalized. They can look at it and be like, they very much so believe that, like, we're here, we're helping the country, we're moving things forward, we're going to win the war, we're going to use biological weapons to win the war. And what they did was that they call these people logs, and they would go to each other between things and be like, how many logs did you cut today? And it's like, right, I cut 5 logs today, which was the term for,
and by the way, they thought it was funny.
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That was like logs. That was
it's a joke.
Because they told local people that it was that Unit 731 was a lumber mill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which that's why they called
and
them
logs. And it was.
Logs.
I mean, they did have some laughs over there. There's no doubt about
well,
it.
Well, of course, yeah. Because every once in a while, they're sitting around there and be like, D.D. Man, but we knew one guy. He was like, oh,
no, I don't want to die.
I remember. But yeah, but they would do is say, they would give these people diseases. Mm-hmm. They would weaponize the disease and figure out different ways to give it to them. It's like anthrax and smallpox and like very and highly infectious like diseases. And then they would wait for the disease to take hold, and then they would just slice them open with no anesthesia. They would tie them down. And they said that you could hear for miles the people screaming like, I'm not dead yet. Like, don't cut me. Don't cut me. I'm not dead yet. And they would cut because they believed that the anesthesia would affect how the disease was working.
Right.
So they would just cut them open and read through, like, look through their guts.
And see where the see where the biological weapon is traveling through the body. And
organ by organ. They said one person's organs were swelling, bleeding, and disintegrating before them.
Ah, good sign.
Yeah. And
good
then,
sign.
Yeah, ooh, this works well. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Put some soy sauce on it.
And they would do vivisections on people constantly. Just and with men, women, children. 70% Chinese.
And in the movie Men Behind the Sun, there is a scene in which a vivisection is being done to a young boy, and there was a rumor that it was actually a human body was used, which is a very vivid scene. And then there was another scene where they fed a cat to a room filled with rats, and the rats just killed this cat. And they said, well, that definitely happened. They fed a real cat to these rats, but they said that they drugged the cat out of its head before doing it, so it didn't even know. But it's still just like, guys,
they drug
let's
them.
Calm down. Yeah. All right? You know, nice Judd Apatow's not doing this kind of stuff. You can see. Yeah.
What's a vivisection?
Vivisection is cut. It is a fancy term for taking a knife and cutting someone's belly open.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
and just, it's splaying. Like, you know when you dissect a frog?
That's a vivisection.
Okay. Yeah.
But literally, like, and the most chilling part of the movie Men Behind the Sun is that, like, after the cat scene, and then there's also very true when they did the pressure chambers. Oh. They would put people in pressure chambers and increase the pressure just to see when they pop. You know,
that's the thing. What are you learning about? Yes, people would pop.
And this is the research that we took from them because it was, and literally I was watching a documentary of scientists being like, you know, because you just can't get that kind of research information here in the States. And you're just like, yeah, I know, because we're not.
There was a
openly
great,
monsters.
There was a very interesting YouTube clip that Henry sent all of us, and it's 20 minutes long, and one of the guys who was at 731 came to apologize. But there was another fellow.
Which
that
is also just like blows my mind. That's what they – and they're like, this means a lot that they're coming to apologize. And it's like, you should be getting fucking money. You should be getting something.
Yeah. There's no money. But there's another character in this documentary who was living like a king, drinking beer, eating Kobe beef – No remorse, no apology whatsoever.
Would you do it again? He's like, yeah, I'd do it again.
In a heart. It was like his glory days. Did you watch that?
I wasn't able to watch it.
This guy's a monster. He was the living
face of a monster. It's like if the Nazis weren't persecuted. It's like if you saw Himmler hanging out at fucking, you know, getting fondue at the Melting Pot. And him just going like, I love the Gouda. Yeah.
There was
another, like just smiling and laughing with a girl sitting on his lap.
There's another torture scene that I have no idea what medical thing this was supposed to solve. There's a woman, she's tied up, her
and
arms.
These are all true. These are things that happened.
Yeah.
A woman's tied up, she's outside, I think with very, very freezing temperatures.
10 hours, yeah.
10 hours outside, a man just continually throws cold water in her hands, icicles form, he knocks off the icicles, does that for 10 hours. They bring her inside, dip her hands into a slightly warmer temperature, lift up her hands, and then the doctor just pulls her hands right off of her bones, her skin, her muscles, her tendons.
He's just like, oh look, it's pink evening groves.
Yeah. He just gives her a reverse glove. And he just tears her hands.
But the scariest part is that afterwards, it's like they're listening to officers and they're like, oh, Yakuza, I bet you 10 beers that you can't get 2 live specimens for the end of the day. Yeah. Oh, well, if it's female specimens, you know that Yakuza will be able to do it. They're like laughing, and it's like super Japanese.
He's the
like
worst racist.
There's like a bunch of like little boys in it are just like, we just want to do, it's good for Japan. And they're just like, you know, they're not human. They're like,
It is true. Most of these kids, like the guy that came to apologize to these to the group of Chinese that he viciously murdered, he was 13 years old at the time when he was watching this woman get her hands removed and watching people go into pressure cookers. So you're 13 years old. I was just, you know, really getting into...
Playing Magic,
you know, getting into Batman, things like that. Yeah. And this man was just learning how... What it takes to make a person shit their intestines. Like,
it
that's
takes
so you
all
could answer
it
that
takes
question.
All kinds.
All kinds.
Yes.
Some of the other experiments, subjects were deprived of food and water to determine how long it took them to starve to death.
Oh, that's normal.
They were experimented upon to determine the relationship between temperature, burns, and human survival. They were placed in centrifuges and spun to death.
How cool would it have been, though, if as a human race, like, none of this stuff killed us?
Yeah,
if you could just sit in a pressure cooker, just one dude just did it forever, and he just like harnessed the power, and he came out, and he just like busted open the doors.
You should
come up
being an X-Man.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
It'd been better if that was real.
Yeah, X-Men would. I mean, I think that if there were X-Men, they could have stopped it.
I mean, I suppose that's Magneto's story, right? He was a Jewish.
He was concentration camp.
And he got so angry that he learned how to control.
Yeah, he learned how to control magnets.
Magnets.
Yeah,
and things
this
like
is the
that.
Thing. No, there's none of that. There's no help for humankind.
No,
we are just spinning towards the grave.
Yes, we are.
We're doing it to ourselves.
They also,
and no wonder the aliens keep looking and avoiding us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, everyone...
I mean, when you're injecting humans with animal blood and injecting them with seawater just to see what happens,
they don't like it. Turns out. I mean, I feel like every one of these pieces of research just ends with that sentence. They didn't like it.
They didn't like it.
Didn't love it.
And none survived.
None survived.
You know, like, I feel like it's a thing, again, it's just like, what good is it if none of them survive?
None of them.
This is
one
nice.
One of them, they just remove the stomach and then attach the esophagus to the intestines.
Yeah.
Just to see.
It's like a game of operations, you know, and they're just laughing about it. They're like, it looks funny.
There's a UCLA
Yeah, it looks really weird.
A nice little art project.
That's like me photoshopping. Yeah. They didn't like how I do Photoshop dumb shit on the computer.
They tied people to stakes and just threw grenades at them.
Yeah.
Shot them with flamethrowers just to see what would happen. Like, how long does it take to burn alive with a flamethrower?
So
how far away do you have to be?
Oh, it's 2 minutes? Very good, Yakamoto. Nah.
Do it again.
But that's just the shit they did just for fun.
That's just goofball stuff.
Yeah, that's just goofball stuff. I think the real... goal of Unit 731 was, of course, the biological warfare.
The biological warfare was pretty fucking insidious, and they killed up to 300,000 Chinese using using what they discovered.
400,000.
400,000.
It's all numbers at this point, huh?
You know, like, here it's just, you know, like, shame on you, Dahmer.
Yeah.
You didn't do fuck all. You know, you didn't do anything. If you were to work for them, they would have called you a pussy.
Yeah. It would have been
not for that long.
Or maybe
though.
I mean, maybe
Dahmer
he would have
stepped up his game.
It's a problem. He would have retired to a lovely career living in the foothills of Mount Fuji, like enjoying fine Kobe beef. He would have been a scientist.
That's the
in
thing.
Japan.
Yeah. I mean, Dahmer was a little scientist. He was a little doctor in his own right. You know,
he just didn't have any training.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah,
he didn't have
if
any
he
power.
Would have had training, and well, if he wouldn't have been such a horrible alcoholic, and actually would have stayed in college. And in the Army, which he was fine in both.
Yeah.
Until he got drunk.
Stay in college, guys. Stay in college. If you want to be a mass murderer, if you want to be a serial killer, stay in college. Get a job with the government. Work in the military, and you can kill whoever you want to kill.
Yeah, the Japanese were really big into the plague.
Okay.
They bred plague fleas, where they would infect,
that's great.
They would infect
that's
prisoners
right.
with the plague, and then they would put them in enclosed spaces, and then these fleas would breed, and then they shoved the fleas into ceramic bombs, mm-hmm. and they would drop the ceramic bombs over targets in China. So when the ceramic bombs exploded, the plague fleas went everywhere. And it gave the Chinese civilians a lot of
major hard-ons.
The bubonic plague.
The Japanese, anyway, major hard-ons. It reminds me of the scene in Wicker Man, but the Nicolas Cage version. Not the bees!
Not the bees!
The bees! The bees! Not the bees!
I am sick.
It's good. Well, you know, everyone listening who's working at your office job and you're having a rough day and your boss is an asshole and you can't get that Excel spreadsheet to open up properly, just remember we're doing better.
Oh, they also
we're doing
gave,
okay.
They also gave poison candy to children. And
that's funny. That's straight up comedy.
They also do that weird thing where they would, like, attach a dollar bill to a fishing line and they would just, like, pull you down the street. And they were like, ha-ha, gotcha.
We also got some great practical jokes out of them, huh?
And then yeah, they invented the gum that turns your mouth black.
I
but
love
we,
that
But instead
gum.
Of dye the way we use it, it was filled with rat's blood.
Sure. All jokes started off really seriously.
Yeah, and then they took out their swords and then chopped them in half.
Chopped their tongue, yeah, ripped their tongues out of their mouths. Popped their eyes out.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And that's where the fake dookie came from as well. Real dookie from the people shooting themselves after they were murdered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used anthrax, typhoid, dysentery, cholera. They also injected people with gonorrhea and syphilis and then studied the effects of
those. Oh, just come to Williamsburg if you want to do that.
I've
been with some of these girls. Hello, how are you?
Oh, yeah. And the United States, our entire alibi. I mean, we had these people.
We knew exactly what they did. We chose to let them go.
Our alibi was that we feared that all of this biological warfare
would get
to the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
It was cold. It was more Cold War shit.
Right.
So
we took all the information.
It's all fucking garbage.
Yeah.
We were fascinated by it because they didn't have the guts to do it themselves.
Exactly.
They didn't want to. They knew, like, oh, you know what? We can take advantage of these fucking fascist government's horrible medical history.
Yeah.
Like we could use
medical
it.
Torture. Yeah.
No, we just took it, and then we just let them all. I don't know why we didn't just take the information and then just, like, imprison or murder all these people who are psychopaths. We like, held up our end of the bargain.
Interesting fact, the only people who actually prosecuted these Unit 731 people, the Russians.
Yeah. Nobody prosecuted them. No, like, they were left alone.
I never heard
of
these guys before.
They prosecuted them because there were some Russian prisoners of war there. And there were, I mean, there weren't a lot, but there was a fair amount of Americans that died at Unit 731.
Oh, I wouldn't be thrilled if I knew
that. Yeah, I was like, listen to, there was like, this guy was basically, I was reading one story about there was one troop of Americans that, like, basically, the commander got cut off from the group and, like, lost him. He was, like, alone in the woods and he got discovered by these guys. Like, literally, it was like he was hanging out and he saw these soldiers come up and he thought they were just like normal like soldiers, so he like surrendered to them. They took him straight to Unit 731 and just,
no,
I was just like, yikes.
Not great.
Yeah, anyone who surrendered. There was, I think I read that if you were a German POW, you had a 4% chance of dying, and if you were a Japanese POW, it was at 30%.
Yeah.
They weren't messing around.
Yeah,
you know?
So they
got
just treated every POW as just subhuman.
So the lesson here is don't get lost in the woods. You know, stick with your troop. Otherwise, you're going to end up at Unit 731.
Yeah, you know, guys, General Sal doesn't grow on trees, guys. Don't go out there looking for stuff like oh, I'm going to go fresh spring roll picking.
Yeah.
No. You need to
stay out of the forests of Japan.
Grab a rope. All hold the rope at the same time.
Because there are guys out there who still think the war's happening.
Yeah.
So let's quickly, like, now that we've done this, is it time to maybe, let's go on a lighter note? What I realized in researching a lot of this stuff is, there are a lot of people who see this stuff and are just like, man, that'll make a fucking killer band name.
Yeah.
Sure. So let's go through some of these bands that are involved, that are about genocide, that are named after genocide.
Yes, yes.
Here is a song called Release Me from Unit 731.
It's going to sound like Sarah McLachlan, I bet. Oh.
Ow! Ow! What are they saying?
Not words.
I don't know. It's very derivative of Cannibal Corpse.
How do you know? They all sound exactly the same.
Well, I feel like I'm in a pressure chamber listening to that. All right, what's the other one?
I listen to stuff.
This is that's fine. No, I mean it's not. That wasn't that bad.
Coming up next, we've got "Demise of the Humanist" by Maruda.
Oh, is that not the same song?
No, it's a different song. No, similar style.
The guitarist is different. It's on the guitars, really.
Oh,
when
I
you're
see.
Listening to metal. It's in the guitars and the drums and the orchestration of
God,
all.
How do
of
these guys order
things?
Coffee at Starbucks?
All right, that is Maruda.
I said I wanted an iced vanilla. Fucking extra shot latte.
That's our bass player.
I just don't know how you sing like that.
I don't know either. You could argue.
We have listeners of the show who perform in bands like that, and I'm really like it's interesting.
I will say this:
I just need something funky.
When I went to the Monsters of Metal concert or the Masters of Metal, I saw Testament. They work metal. Musicians work their asses off.
Yes, they do.
They're the best. I will maintain that metal musicians are the best musicians in the world.
They're
because
athletes.
It's really hard. It's hard. It's a lot
of
energy.
Most of them are classically trained.
What's banging?
They're doing some construction.
It doesn't matter.
Are they building a Unit 731 next door?
Yeah, Marcus has an extra construction project going on. We'll be recording there very soon, guys.
This is the thing. I just feel like it's like the Ariel Castro thing. We're just like, what's all the construction going on? It's like the Toy Box Killer. It's like, what's that sound going on?
We're
going
to open up this door. It's just a brick wall.
Oh, they're just throwing something next door. I don't know what they're doing.
All right, Marcus. And what's another one?
Another one? This is a song about one of our subjects today.
Okay.
This is by a band called Blood Tsunami.
Ah.
And the song is The Rape of Nanking.
Oh, okay. Let me guess.
Okay. Well, you know, once you hear one, huh?
It's a lot of sound.
It is a lot of sound.
This is pretty fucking sweet, man.
This is
pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check out these Blood Tsunami guys.
I like this band.
Awesome.
I'm still going to say...
We need to have a battle of the bands.
Kind of like
I can't
Slayer
believe that there is so much complaining about this type of... I understand. We keep the guys in Afghanistan. We keep them up all night. You know, like, we, like, waterboard them. It's nowhere near.
Oh, it's not
what
nearly
they've
bad.
Done before yeah. in the past.
Oh no,
no. All right, we have one more band.
Let's go for a band called Adolf and the Oh Hitler Band.
Oh, I feel so upset for loving this.
I just feel like dancing on a platform to this.
Yeah, one of the YouTube comments is, it's a crime against humanity how catchy this song is.
All right.
Thank you, user Ghost649.
Nice. All right, everybody. Well, I think we have to wrap up this episode.
Yeah. Guys.
Yeah, keep that in the other. That's nice.
Hey, guys, don't go raping any towns.
All right,
don't do something over a six-week period that can be called a rape for the entire 6 weeks.
Uh-huh. All right,
That's a month and a half of rape.
That's a month and a half. Too much. Too much.
Too much.
Magustalations.
Heil me.
Heil Geen.
And, of course, heil yourselves, everybody.
Hail Satan, and may Satan never let something like this ever happen again.
Please.
Oh,
come on.
I'll pray to him nightly to make sure.
Remind me to tell you guys about the Cathars sometime.
You'll like them.
Oh, my.